the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
One of the issues that many Americans face as they age are injuries. We've all heard about people slipping, falling, breaking a hip, having knees replaced, the rotator cuff. How does one stay healthy, able to exercise without injuring? And that's going to be the topic of today's show, which many of you have requested a topic you wanted to be covered. Joining me on the program is Ashley McHugh. She's a physical therapist from Palomar Health Rehab Clinic. And Ashley, why don't we begin with some of the common injuries that you see people go through as they age. You know, the rotator cuff, the knees that give out. Those are some of the things that we see over and over again and people complain about. How do we avoid getting ourselves in that kind of situation, especially if we like to be active?
Great question, Jim. It's a loaded question, but I also think that there's injuries that are unique to humans are unique to what they do in their daily life. So lots of common ones that we see in the clinic, in an outpatient orthopedic clinic like ours, are simple ones like rotator cuff injuries, rotator cuff impingement pain, degenerative issues with knees or hips, or certainly the spine, such as the low back or the neck. And then also tendinopathies, so things that might affect your wrist, your elbows, and your knees, and potentially even your ankle and your Achilles. So it really depends on what your lifestyle is like.
Ashley, are there certain things that we do? Like, I have a client who was reaching in the overhead luggage department on an airplane, threw her rotator cuff out, and then just continued to do what she was always doing. And then just gradually over months, it got worse and worse. Now she's going to end up having an operation, be out of work for 6 months, and they're going to have to put some kind of pins in there. So are there particular things that we can do being active that are more prone to lead to these kind of problems?
Yeah. So what your client experienced is something that involves a mechanism of injury. And sometimes those are unavoidable. If reaching up into that overhead bin to get out that suitcase put her shoulder at a disadvantaged position just based on potentially her leaning one way or being shorter of stature and having to reach even higher beyond potentially what that joint was comfortable doing. And even the load of her suitcase is maybe heavier than anything she's ever lifted before. Those are all kind of recipe for a bad result, something where she experienced a tear and then it started getting worse and worse over time and she couldn't get rid of it. So something where there's a mechanism of injury, sometimes that's unavoidable, such as a fall or having a new activity that you're trying. Like, you've never done softball on the weekends, but you wanted to pick up that game of softball, and we call that sort of a weekend warrior activity. And all of a sudden you step off that base and you hear a big pop and can't walk anymore. So you've blown your Achilles. So there's lots of ways that people can have mechanisms of injuries for and be predisposed to injury in that way. But there's also just degenerative reasons. As you age, we know that we lose a large amount of muscle mass each year after we turn 30 years old. So even as we're young 30s, 40s, we're still losing muscle mass every year. So staying strong and staying limber are all ways to stay healthy and sort of prevent those mechanisms of injury. So I think people need to, as they age, figure out what activities that they like to do. And cross training is really important once you find those various activities. So if you've always been a runner and you love running, but you've had multiple knee issues or ankle issues or tendinopathies issues over the years, maybe trying some sort of weightlifting resistance training option, yoga, Pilates, something that's going to build your muscle strength in different ways, is always going to be good to help prevent injury. So it's important to find activities on lots of different levels that interest you.
Are there certain kind of activities? I'm thinking, Ashley, of running, for example. You know, all of a sudden you're in your mid-50s, 60s, you decide to get in shape and you start running, and all of a sudden your body at age 60 is now pounding, your bones are pounding the pavement, something that you're not used to doing. Are there certain activities, if you're starting late in life, you would advise, for example, maybe a brisk walk instead of maybe pounding the pavement and doing a 5K marathon?
Yeah, if you find that running causes you more pain, either in your knees or your low back because of that impact sport, there's lots of ways to reduce the impact. You know, finding a water sport, swimming, water aerobics, or even biking are great ways to reduce that impact. And you still get the cardiovascular endurance training that you're craving and calorie burn and potentially strengthening through the muscles that you're using during those activities. So those are all ways to sort of reduce the impact on your joints. But actually, as we age, that loading into the joint, such as running, isn't always a bad thing. That helps build dense and strong bone matter too. So sometimes there's a way to progress yourself into a loading activity safely so that you're not experiencing more pain and putting your body at risk for injury. And if you reach out to maybe a personal trainer that you trust or a physical therapist that you've seen before and seek medical help to ask these simple questions so that somebody can help guide you into sort of a leading and loading program so that you can get active and be doing the activities that you want to do. Loading activities such as running or even incorporating explosive training into your resistance training, if you're somebody who likes going to the gym, also helps reduce the risk of fractures if you do experience a fall. So again, getting into that bone mass and density due to the loading into the bones and into the muscle tissue. It's also a really dynamic way to train your muscles and your tendons. So somebody who likes to lift heavy weights and they lift weights, the same weights all the time with the same reps and sets, might want to switch up that program to jump, adding a small jump or hop, or do lighter weights and more reps, or for that matter, heavier weights and lower reps. Those are all different ways to train either endurance strength or getting a lot stronger or getting faster potentially even. I mean, even though you're 60 or above, that does not mean that you can't become better at what you're doing. The body is incredibly adaptable, and with the right help from potentially healthcare provider or somebody who specializes in training of all kinds, swimming, running, weightlifting, jogging, yoga, can help you get to where you want to be and maybe progress you even further.
Are there certain things, like you mentioned, that as once we reach a certain age, our body begins to atrophy, in other words, our muscles? So doing things like weightlifting, when you're beginning a program like this, Ashley, would you advise, especially somebody, let's say in late 50s or 60s, that they may want to, number one, check with their doctor first, make sure of their physical condition. And secondly, maybe hire a trainer initially so you're not going to injure yourself. You're performing the movements correctly. So because you can injure yourself in any kind of activity that you get involved in.
Absolutely. If you're starting something new for the first time, no matter what, hands down, it could even just be a fast, brisk walk down the street for 5 to 10 minutes. You always want that clearance from your medical provider. So maybe your primary practitioner, just to make sure that you have a clean bill of health, a healthy heart, a healthy body to allow you to do these, any kind of activity. Secondly, I think if you have a history of chronic pain or injury, I would definitely seek advice from a physical therapist, because that therapist can tailor specifically movements that maybe you should stay away from or that you should do in a different way, modify that movement so that it best serves you and you're not potentially making that chronic pain or that prior injury worse. Believe it or not, we just get injured as we age. I'm sure we all know that. 75% of the population probably has a form of a degenerative rotator cuff tear. And not a lot of those are symptomatic. A lot of people over the age 65 have a compromised shoulder complex, but they don't necessarily have pain. And so doing certain movements without guidance of a specialist can cause more pain. And so I would definitely seek help to either make sure we all go to the gym and potentially do things that we might not we shouldn't be doing and can cause more injury or pain. And so having that provider, that specialist, guide you in terms of teaching you how to do a movement properly in order to prevent injury or prevent pain is key.
We've heard all kinds of benefits of Pilates and yoga in terms of maintaining balance and flexibility, which you can do with yoga as well as Pilates. What about those two forms of exercise, adding them to whatever exercise routine you have, whether it's, you know, on a treadmill, jogging, walking, or maybe even going to the gym and lifting weights?
So a lot of Pilates and yoga is becoming more and more popular, and I think that's because they hold such value to the aging person. They build what we like to call long and lean and strong muscles, and that's important. Joints are meant to move. We have a phrase in physical therapy, and it's movement is medicine and motion is lotion. A lot of times our joints are meant to be put through their fullest range of motion and capabilities. And if they don't go into those range of motions, possibly due to tight muscles, then sometimes that can lead to pain or it can lead to improper functioning of that joint and thus pain or injury. And what's great about the theories of yoga and Pilates is that, especially Pilates, they've developed a core-centered program where they focus on the stomach and the strength of the abdominals and then the lengthening and strengthening of muscles to support good posture and better balance. Yoga especially focuses on the balance portion. There's a lot of standing poses, and with the active stretching that yoga requires, it also does the same thing in developing those long and lean muscles so that your joints can go through their fullest range of motion and you have this adequate strength in all the muscles to help support the joints. So sometimes as we age and we are, let's say, runners, and we like doing that on a daily basis, we'll have compression forces through the knee like we talked about before. And even though we're out jogging, some muscles can get tight and some muscles can get weak just by merely doing the same activity and never diversifying that activity. And sometimes that can lead to more compression forces and pain into the knees or hips. And so what yoga and Pilates can help you do is add that cross-training element where you're stretching tight muscles, muscles that we use repetitively while running, such as your hip flexors and hamstrings, and then also strengthen and create long, lean muscles to help prevent you from getting injured and uplift the joints instead of adding to the compression due to those muscle imbalances. So they're great options for people. There's lots of different instructors and classes out there. I think as it gets more and more popular, people are more willing to try it. But I would suggest and maybe challenge people to try different teachers in those practices. So you can really find someone that helps tailor that those activities that you're doing in Pilates or yoga to what you need and what your capabilities are. So great options.
Yeah, there's such a thing as called chair yoga where, you know, maybe if you're in your 60s or 70s and you're less flexible than when you were younger, it's an easier way to get into the program, stretch those muscles, make them leaner and stretch them without injuring yourself. I want to talk about another issue, and you briefly touched upon it with yoga, because one of the issues that a lot of aging people face, and that is falling and not being able to catch your balance. So balance is very important as you age. I'm more aware of it because I'm a sailor. And when you're on board a sailboat in the ocean, bouncing up and down in the waves, you need that balance to work away your way around the boat. But what about the balance issues? Is it mainly yoga or are there certain exercises? Or is there equipment that you can use? I know I've heard of balance boards and things of that nature, something very simple and easy to do.
So you're right. Balance is a huge issue with our aging population. There's a statistic that 1 in 4 senior over 65 years of age falls every year. And sometimes those falls can be detrimental and lead to death. The fracturing of a humerus is a huge level of function change for people. And health can decline rapidly after such an injury. So balance is key. Now, there's a lot of complex things that play into balance in our human body and with our system. So first of all, our visual capabilities play into balance. There's what we call intrinsic and extrinsic factors that play into balance. So intrinsic would be something like either that vision issue, weakness, joint disease, or things of that nature, any kind of cardiovascular issues or history of even sometimes even brain functioning, such as Alzheimer's or anything like that. Now, that's intrinsic factors. Extrinsic factors can be things like smoking or your environment, having a home that maybe has tripping hazards, such as really shaggy rugs or cords running across your hallways or cords sticking out from desks. So as you get older, unfortunately, if you don't use it, you lose it. So when you were younger and you were walking on the balance beam all the time, or you were always stepping on curbs and practicing those balancing skills, or potentially standing on one leg, playing around with friends, or kicking a soccer ball, all of those dynamic activities help build better balance. And so as we age, we tend to not do those things anymore. And again, if you don't use it, you lose it. So simply adding in activities like you were talking about, simple things like maybe even investing into a balance board or practicing standing on one leg in a really safe environment, potentially by in a corner of a wall of your house or by your kitchen countertop with the chair in front of you. Simply putting, narrowing your base of support, so putting your feet together or potentially a foot in front of the other, that would help create a difficult environment for you to stand in, challenges your balance. And therefore, with balance training, hopefully, if you're on the sailboat, like you were referring to, and you get the little wave that you're going over and the boat rocks side to side, you then have those reactionary proprioceptor skills to remain balanced without the risk of falling. Older individuals sometimes even experience the feeling of being off balance from turning around quickly as they age, or being in a grocery store and walking down the hall and having the head on the swivel looking on the items on the wall. And if you experience imbalance or uncomfortability or a loss of balance during simple activities of daily living, such as grocery shopping or turning around in your kitchen, I would definitely suggest you see a physical therapist, or maybe start with your primary and ask about someone who can give you exercises for balance. It's important to keep training those skills as you age, so to prevent a fall. And like I said in the beginning of this question, falls can be really detrimental. So preventing falls is a huge part of our job as physical therapists.
Ashley, are there anything like supplements like glucosamine or anything that calcium or any kind of things or a special diet that is maybe more important as we age? You know, I've heard you see television commercials, if you read magazines, you see all these claims about a certain supplement will help your brain, will help your bones, make you stronger, make you more energetic. Is there any truth to that, or is that just a bunch of hype?
I'm afraid that there's no magic pill. And I say that because the evidence on all of the options that you just rattled off, including things like hyaluronic acid, I know that's a big thing nowadays to either take or have injected into joints. We just don't really have long-term, good, high-quality research to say that those options are really effective. And so unfortunately, I think the good old training and having and realizing that having a healthier diet certainly plays into overall health, and having a within healthy parameter body mass index, and now they're even saying measurement of waistline, is always going to be better on your joints. It's never a good thing to be overweight for the joints. That's overloading them and even sometimes putting your body at risk for injury when it comes to activities. So healthy diet, healthy lifestyle, movement, diversity of movement, and of course, some sort of cognitive training. There's a lot to be said about, you know, learning something, a new skill, you know, maybe not every day, but every few months, or challenging your brain cognitively to keep you healthy and prevent from a rapid decline in a lot of areas.
Yeah, there's even games out there like Lumosity that challenge your brain, which is also good for prevention of dementia, things like Alzheimer's. Ashley, if you were to take somebody, let's just take somebody, average Joe, age 65, now retired, now wants to take his or her health seriously. If you were to design a program, being a physical therapist, what might that program look like?
Well, that's not unlike what I already do. I think I do have a fair amount of my patient population is that individual. And the key is that I tailor it, and every clinical medical healthcare provider does this and should do this, tailors it to what that person's needs are. Do you like to garden? Do you like to go for a run? What do you like to do in your daily life, and how can I augment that? So first of all, I get to know the person, but in general, I'm going to target every joint, every muscle, the core, especially posture. We've barely talked about posture, which is a large part of the, actually, believe it or not, shoulder injuries. So a lot of people have shoulder pain just merely based on a postural abnormality. So I'm going to add in lots of exercises for posture. In general, I like to stay away from pushing activities. So I know in the past, a lot of people know how to weight train in terms of bench pressing or overhead pressing. And we find that those are just not great for your body as you age. They overdevelop muscles that create poor posture and potentially micro traumas or macro traumas in joints such as your shoulder. So I like to stick with pulling activities like a rowing or a lat pulling. So I always incorporate pulling activities. I always incorporate some sort of a squat or lunge activity to keep the joints of the hips and the knees strong and healthy. I like to do postural activities, things that keep your neck, your core, and your back strong so that you can stand and move and garden or do whatever activity that you like doing in good posture with good mechanics. So we review mechanics, we review posture. We typically do a dynamic or static balance activity depending on what your capabilities are. So I hit a balance activity, and I think that covers most of it. So I guess the moral of the story is really core, posture, pulling, and balance. I think that's the sweet magic medicine of prescribing that I do. And a lot of patients benefit from that.
Well, you just changed part of my exercise routine. So, no, seriously, I mean, I found over the years getting injured. And then when I got a trainer, added Pilates and yoga to what I was doing to sort of get that balance, that stretch, that different muscle movement that you don't get when you're just, you know, doing the hardcore, typical stuff you see at your family gym. You do your cardio, treadmill, stair climber, or elliptical, whatever it is, and then you go over and hit the machines. The problem is with those machines, and I don't know if you found this, is those machines keep your muscles in a certain configuration. In other words, they don't get that long stretch that you may get with yoga or Pilates. So let me ask you this. If you were just to boil it down to a couple things, let's say three do's and three don'ts, how would you summarize that?
I would say no overhead pressing, no chest pressing.
Well, you just eliminated three of my weightlifting exercises.
I know. Well, and you know, I say that because I think all you nailed it with the exercise machines. That's a one muscle, one plane motion that those machines are targeting. And it's really important to get those multi-planar, multi-muscle activities in so that you have proper muscle imbalances and coordination. So I would say definitely do, and stretching. Stretching is a big stress thing. So I'm going to say do stretches. Prepping your muscles before you strengthen them is key to building those long, lean, strong muscles. Injury prevention. Find an activity that trains your glutes. What I mean by that is your tush muscles. So you have three major muscles in your glutes that are huge. They're your powerhouse. As we age, I find a lot of the aging population underutilizes, undertrains the glutes, and as a result can have a lot of low back or hip pain, knee pain even. A knee pain isn't actually a knee issue. It's a hip usually or an ankle issue. So training the glutes are huge. So that's going to be one of my do's. My other do was stretching. And my third do is challenge your balance. I think there's lots of ways to challenge the three systems that play into your balance. So that's visual, vestibular, and somatosensory systems. And that could be its own topic of conversation. But again, if you see a physical therapist, potentially ask about how to train those systems to help reduce falls and improve balance.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned no chest presses, overhead presses. That's one of the two kinds of exercises I've been having difficulty and a bit of an injury doing. So you're just confirming what my trainer has been telling me. You don't need to do these things anymore.
Yeah. And if you do them, as long as we can modify them so they're not painful and you don't have pain after, then fine, go ahead and do them. But I think knowing the proper mechanics of them and knowing how to do them in a way that that's modified so that you don't have pain before or after or during is key.
Okay, so if I was sort of summing this up, Ashley, I think you would agree that the first thing that one should do before you embark on any kind of physical training activity is go get yourself a physical so your doctor knows what kind of shape you are and he may actually modify some of the things you do. Secondly, if you're going to begin a program, might be a good idea to get a trainer so you make sure you're doing the proper exercises and you don't injure yourself. And then once again, as you age, you talk about stretching, strengthening those legs, those glutes, and then creating a balance program. And I might add, alternating the different types of exercises so you're not doing... I have a friend who's been doing the same exercises for the 15 years I've known him. And he just says, well, I'm just slowing down the aging process. Does the same exercise, same weight, same cardio, hasn't changed a thing in 15 years. I suspect you would probably not agree with that.
You nailed it. I believe so strongly in cross-training and diversifying your training palette in order to prevent injury. It's just the foundation of our job as physical therapists. We want to put you in positions that are uncomfortable. You have to train the options that you don't do. So if you don't do it, then you lose it. So we got to put you in those areas to make sure that you don't lose it. So that's where the diversifying of activities really comes into play. I treat tons of people that have their regimen at the gym that they do every day or every three other day, and they've been doing it for 10, 20, 30 even years. I get those clients in here, and those are arguably my most favorite clients because then it's so fun to watch them learn about different movements and find ways to feel good without having pain and then also get stronger and feel better about themselves because they're trying new activities and they're getting more range of motion and they're all of a sudden getting stronger or faster even.
Ashley, I want to thank you for coming on the program. If our listeners would like to find out more about the work that you guys have developed at Palomar Health Rehab Clinic, because you guys deal with a lot of the issues we're talking about, whether it's knees, you know, rotator cuffs, all the injuries we've been discussing today, how could they find out more information?
Yeah, that's a good, great question. So our rehab team is amazing. If you go onto Palomar's website, which is www.palomarhealth.org, we have a rehabilitation services webpage. And so you'd add a / to the palomarhealth.org rehabilitation services. And on that page, there's lots of information, even blogs that our therapists have written about common topics of injuries. So even going from what we've chatted about today, rotator cuff, knee injuries, to even pelvic floor, both are targeting men and women, issues with those kind of less talked about injuries or problems as you age. So it's a great reference. We love having people go onto our website, look up our blogs. Anyone who's listening is welcome to email me at my work email here at Palomar Health, which is Ashley.McHugh, M-C-C-U-E, at palomarhealth.org, and send over your questions. I'd love to hear what you have to ask and hopefully try to get you some help. I do want to say one quick thing, Jim. You did say getting a trainer, and you need to first get cleared by your doctor, and then second, get a trainer. And I think that's great. But I would argue that it is totally reasonable for you to go one step further and see a physical therapist just for a checkup and an overall health screen. So physical therapists aren't just needed when you're injured. We're also available that if you are that active human and you wanted to get into new activities or diversify your palate, we can do a health screening on your joints and identify where you might need to focus strengthening or stretching or even balance so that you can continue your health journey and become stronger. So those are ways to get a hold of me and hop onto Palomar's website and maybe check out some of the blogs that might answer some of your questions. I know a lot of the older and aging population is still working or using computers more, which also might entail some neck pain. So we've got blogs on there about ergonomics when you're at a computer and stretches to do when to take those breaks to reduce the pain in the neck or the shoulders and the arms from typing or being on a computer. So lots of great information. Hop on the website.
Well, great information. And in fact, that you just added, visiting a physical therapist like yourself is probably that third, probably even one of the most important elements next to your doctor. Ashley, I want to thank you for joining us on the program. We've had a request from several listeners to get somebody like yourself on the program because of the injuries they see have suffered either themselves or have seen with friends. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. I hope we talk soon. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you found this very helpful. In fact, I'm going to take advantage and go see Ashley. Three things. See your doctor first. Maybe secondly, see a physical therapist to take a look at what your joints, the strength of your muscles, what you might need. And then third, get a trainer. Ashley just wrecked my whole weightlifting program because I do 3 or 4 versions of a chest press, the incline, the decline press, pec press, overhead military press. Well, listening to her, now I know why I'm sore. So do yourself a favor, follow that prescription, see your doctor, see a physical therapist, and get a trainer before you begin. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.